Thank you, Brother Leslie. My, it's a real pleasure being with you again this evening. And it's certainly gratifying to see so many of you out. The threat of snow flurry or snow and cold and rain did not deter you, and neither did the preacher. I haven't seen snow since 1949, and I wouldn't mind seeing a little, but that might be a bit selfish, because that, well, it may not be practical to have it this time of the year. But like I told a dear brother at the door, and he said, you know, we're going to probably get snow tonight. I said, well, I'll tell you something else. We can't do a thing about it. I'd like you to avail yourself of the tribulation map by Leon Bates. Some of the slides, the projections I have been using, it's free. It makes a lovely Bible study. It's quite comprehensive. In that little folder, it's at the table to my right, back. And you're welcome to take one. No charge. And we may not have enough to go around. And if that be so, I do have a few to the front here. And if we should run out, see me after the service. I want you to turn, please, to the book of Ezekiel the prophet. And we want to read from chapter 38. As announced, people are always asking the question, do you think Russia will be in a full-scale war? And they ask me continually. I've been asked that question again and again. And I can only give and relate what I believe the Bible teaches. And so we want to look at this tonight. And I'd like to apologize if we didn't really show you any slides last evening due to a slight diversion where I ended up giving my testimony, forgot about the clock, forgot about everything else, and I thought that I was sort of being raptured. I was just rejoicing in what the Lord has done for me. Now, I'm not apologizing for that, mind you, just apologizing for not being able to show the slides. But we had a hallelujah time last night, didn't we? At least I enjoyed it. If you didn't, well, it's just too bad. At least I did. Oh, my, it's grand to see the unfoldings of the Word of God in our modern times. As you turn every page of your newspaper, you flick the television switch, or listen to the radio, all of these newscasters are telling us is exactly what the Word of God has been telling us for years. But unfortunately, a lot of people have not been listening. And so here we want to get into Ezekiel 38, a few verses, and keep in mind this chapter has to do with the Northern Kingdom, or the King of the North in Europe and Asia, rather, where we have names that we will try to explain as we go on. Verse 1 of Ezekiel 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, or Iran to be exact, the Iran that we've heard so much about lately, Ethiopia, Libya, with them all of them with shield and helmet. Goma, and all his bands, the house of Tagamus, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy companies that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. For after many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Now there has never been seen or known what the prophet is writing here. That's why the emphasis here, in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell, how? Safely, all of them. We were talking about that last night. Remember Israel, the modern miracle, how God is bringing Israel back into the land, a nation, 1948. Something happened that the most startling news of human history for the century, 2,500 years Israel without a king, without a priest, in the true sense of the word, no temple, and no king. And here we find them back into the land, but they're not back safely. They're there, but certainly no one would dare suggest that they're safe. In fact, they are subjected to riots, rebellion. They are subjected to war, and they have really gone through a lot, even since 1948. However, the time is coming when they shall be in the land safely. Verse 9, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them, dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, and to take a spoil, and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nation, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver, gold, to take away cattle, goods, and to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, you prophesy and say unto God, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou not know it? Question is, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the where? North part. Thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel. So that's clear. Another army, another king, or another power coming down upon Israel. There's no question about that. There's never been such a nation to do this. Never. As a cloud to cover the land, it shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. Then, when the battle gets really hot and terrible, then verse 22, just for the sake of time, wish we could read all of it. Verse 22, the Lord is saying, then I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the people, many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone, the very elements from a nuclear explosion. That's right. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against God, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Moscow, Meshach, and Tubal, the city of White Russia. And I will turn thee back and leave, but listen, the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up the north part, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. In verse 9 of chapter 39, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields, the bucklers, the bows, and arrows, and so on. This could be a figure of speech of just plain artillery. We're not too sure about this, but nevertheless, weapons. It says, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. That gives you some idea of all the equipment or the artillery, the weapons that will be there during that time, during that battle. 7 years in burning all of that stuff. So that, verse 10, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, rob those that rob them, and so on. Verse 12, and 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Can you imagine that? 7 months in burying the dead, and 7 years of cleaning the land up of its debris and so on. But someone might say, but Mr. Perry, it says that they're going to use it for firewood. You know, Russia has a laminated wood right now. The use is better than steel for the reason for the use to use rifles and other equipment. They've perfected this laminated wood. It's harder than iron, and it's not subject to being burned or burnt, and that easily, and they'll even use wooden bullets. Why Hitler did that at the end of the war, wooden bullets. It's not hard to conceive. Wood is going to be a great commodity in that day for the simple reason is we've got an invention out now that's really scary. It's sort of the grandfather of all weapons. Nuclear warfare is terrible. We want to avoid that as much as we possibly can. But you know what we've got? We've got laser now. And laser can, why, they just beam a little laser a mile away and cause a kettle of water to boil almost instantly. They've done it over and over again. There's nothing unusual about that. In fact, over in the Indian Ocean, it is believed that Russia used the laser beam to shoot down one of the satellites. That's not been proven, but at least they suspect that. One blast, one light, a glare is all they got from photographs out there in Russia, and that spaceship was gone. Now, my friends, I'm only relating, of course, what the modern magazines tell us, such as the Time magazine. But you know, all of these things are fascinating to me. I read a lot, I study a lot, and I have to smile sometimes with some of the things I see. And some of these unsaved men are literally writing things that are only confirming the Word of God. And I'm going to try to show you some pictures tonight to reveal what I'm getting at. So our chapter opens up tonight with a mentioning of God and Meshach. And Tubal, of course, you've got these names that come way back in the Old Testament. And these sons of Japhet, we have Goma, who was one of them, Magog, who was another, and Madia, who was one, Javan was another, Tubal was one, and Meshach was one. And so if you keep in mind that Noah had three sons, Shem and Ham, Japheth, quite obvious that he went north to the Caucasus Mountains, and over there is where he populated the area, which is now known as Russia and so on. Then Shem, the Shemitic line, is the Israelitish line that we know quite well in the Middle East today. And through the Shemitic line, Shem, we have the Lord Jesus coming from that line. And of course, Ham went to the south. You may not know a great deal about all of them, but we know enough to convince us that these boys, at least, Tubal and also Meshach, who were the sons of Japheth, went to the north, to the Caucasus, beyond the Caucasus Mountains, where we even get the term today, the Caucasian people. All right? So that it's not difficult to understand or to identify who the God or the prince is here. If you keep that in mind and you come to the conclusion that it's Russia, then Russia will definitely launch an attack against Israel, the king of the north. I know no other king. The scripture speaks explicitly of four kings. And I want to say at the outset, the reason why we're relating these things purely is to show you that the coming of the Lord is near. We're not here to arouse curiosity, and that what we're telling you, my friend, is the first-hand information from the Word of God so that we might be prepared and might realize that His coming is near. The Lord Jesus said, when ye shall see armies compassing Israel, then know that the end is near. The Lord Jesus said that, not the preacher standing before you. And so then the reason for the prophetic messages and the reason for relating the truth of Russia will fight. Russia will be engaged in a battle against Israel, and there's a reason for that too, as I'll show you through some of the slides. But she's getting ready now. It's not very difficult to see. She will be united with allies, and about 18 months ago, or perhaps near that, then, when your hostages were taken captive in Iran, a dear friend of mine, said to me, he says, "Well, at last," he says, "America's going to go in and fight." I said, "Well, I don't think so." I said, "I'm not trying to sound like a know-all, but I have my doubts that America will not fight Iran." And of course, he got a little hot under the collar, and I'm not one for arguing over something that was mere speculation. So I said, "Well, he said, "Well, what's your reasons?" I said, "Well, because for the simple reason is I believe that if there's any nation that's really going to be predominant in Iran, eventually it's going to be the communists. I believe the communists are going to take over like they're taking over in many other areas." And Mr. Haig, the Secretary for Defense, is that his position today? Mr. Haig, if you watch your newscast tonight, he almost took my sermon from me. And I want to tell you, he's the only man that I've seen with gut, I beg your pardon, intestinal fortitude. The only one that I have seen that dared to stand up against the communists and the ugly, evil tentacles of a philosophy that's damaging and deadly, and the trouble with so many of us in the Western Hemisphere, we're so blind and deliberately blind and deliberately ignorant. That means uninformed, not stupid. And you'd be surprised how many American people don't realize the danger of the tentacles of their philosophy. And Russia is definitely behind all of these things. People say, "Will Russia be at war?" No, she is at war. She's fighting every day. And she has a predictable target, a strategic target, and she's striking so that one day she'll try to strangle the United States of America. There's going to be four kingdoms that's going to be very powerful. The communist kingdom, with 900 million strong already. You've got the kingdom, that's not including China, by the way. Then you've got the kingdom, the southern kingdom, the Egyptian kingdom, the king of the south. And the king of the south already launched his attack against Israel. Then you have the king of the east. It says in Revelation, as well as one of the prophet Daniel, "Tidings out of the east shall trouble Israel." And that's the oriental king. And I use king as a figure of speech, because even now China has 200 million soldiers, and it's going to be 200 million soldiers that will die in the Battle of Armageddon, the climax of the Battle of Armageddon. 200 million soldiers. That's why it's going to be 7 months in burying those men. That's what the Bible teaches, my friend. And when John got the revelation, the book of Revelation, there were only 200, not even 200 million people populated the earth at the time. And now, recently, China has boasted she has an army of 200 million. That's why America is shaking hands with China. She doesn't agree with her philosophy, but she wants to be friendly with China. Because, right, any type of fussing or arguing with China, it can be very dangerous. But the time is coming where the King of the East, China, will launch her attack. A person asked Sir Winston Churchill, that great statesman, on one occasion, "What about China, sir?" And Mr. Churchill made answer, he said, "Let that giant remain asleep." And so China has had the nickname as the sleeping giant. But the sleeping giant has not been asleep. The sleeping giant has now nuclear power and nuclear weapons. The sleeping giant is now making a highway right across the northern point of Tibet. And she's actually building her road, and Russia knows this, and Russia doesn't like the idea, and they're fussing boundary-wise. But also, Russia knows that China has her eye on the Middle East, and Russia wants to get there before China. We're the sleeping giants out this way. We're not paying any attention to what's going on. But listen, it's like a great chess game, if I may use it reverently. But you know who's in charge of all of the business? Is God Almighty. God is in charge of it all. I know one thing. We're on the side that is won. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God. Oh, my friend, it's fascinating. It's exciting. It's just a matter of, for the last play, the last move will be done and made by God in the person of His Son, through the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus. So we have the King of the North, Russia. The King of the East, China. The King of the South, we have in Egypt. Well, who's the King of the West? not the U.S. The King of the West is the United Nations Confederation that we now have. And last November when I was preaching and prophesying, I was telling them in the near future, perhaps the beginning of the year, we will have Greece in the common market to complete the ten nations of confederation. I said, however, I believe a couple will drop out. Some of the Bible scholars believe that maybe one or two will drop out, and there's good reason to believe that. And so lo and behold, in January, and here now in the Dutch territory, where they have their headquarters, they had 10 flagpoles. 9 of them, there were flying flags, and one with no flag. Can you imagine? Because they have already planned, designated only 10 nations. My friend, here you have your 10 toes of the great statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Here you have the 10 beasts, or the 10 horned creature, rather, of the indescribable beast springing up from the Roman Empire, and that's another subject in itself. But they're going to have a king too, and the king is going to be the Antichrist, and we're going to talk about that, God willing, tomorrow night. And so you'll be much in prayer for me, because the devil doesn't like me to talk about that subject. And so who is the king of the West? It's going to be the Federated Nations of Europe, the United States of Europe. You say, well, what part does America have in all of this? Well, the part that America's been playing all along. America is going to support the West, is going to support the Jews. And God, I believe, has raised up America for that. America, as far as I know, is not mentioned in the Bible unless the lion, we believe, is Great Britain, and the cubs, unless you believe one of the cubs, is the United States of America. And what a cub. I tell you, I owe a lot to the U.S. I thank God for America, because during the World War II, we nearly starved in Bermuda, and we had two bases that were operated by the United States, and the Navy base and the Army base. And they had their ship bringing supplies to the soldiers and the sailor boys in Bermuda, and there were some hard times there. 10 in our family, it was really tough. And my dad was out of work for months, but he got a job at the base, the American base. And I see him now many nights when he came home. And those Americans, you know, they're very thrifty. All the bread ends, the cat's heads, we call them. My dad used to come home with a sack full of them. The American soldier boys wouldn't eat the ends of the bread. They're crazy. That's the best part of the bread. And my dad used to come home every night with a whole sack of the ends of the bread. I say, what, these Americans? I don't know what's wrong with them. But I was glad. And I tell you, the boat that brought food for the U.S. servicemen brought food for our population as well, for our people in Bermuda. And so we owe a lot to the U.S. Thank God, even though they say Yankees go home, they write books about the ugly Americans. We have our problems. I say have. I feel like I'm an American because we've been neighbors for so many years, and I've been hobnobbing. It's not perhaps the best word. But I've been fellowshipping with Americans all my life. And the world might tell Yankee, go home, may say all of this, but there's no nation in the world that has helped the world like the United States of America. Russia can't even pay her dues in the United Nations. America has to carry the burden and the load of all of these people. An earthquake, or tornado, or hurricane. A man lost at sea. There's an American helicopter there and a Coast Guard. If I keep talking, you all might want to vote me in as the president of the United States of America. I don't know. I have a habit. I get off my subject sometimes. But you forgive me, will you? You forgive me. I like to be truthful. And so what is America going to do? I believe America is going to do what she's been doing. But she's going to help the West in a greater way, because the two predominant powers in the U.S. eventually will be the Jewish power and the Roman Catholic power, the Roman power, let's say, the political Roman power. And I have a strong suspicion that that's what she's going to do at that time. And the West is going to be strong because of the American support. And my friend, listen, with these four powers at large, they're already in existence. They're already here. And what's keeping Russia? She doesn't have Iran yet, and yet it says she's going to be allied with Iran. She's going to be allied with Iraq. Who is Iraq? Ancient Babylon. But Iraq is already communistic. And many of the other countries, Turkey, is already under the domination of communism. East Germany is definitely socialistic. I do not believe West Germany will ever go socialistic, because West Germany is the original, one of the original members of the Roman Empire many, many years ago. And that's why only in the common market countries you'll only find the original Roman Empire country. That's all that's there now. And so there are 10 already established. I tell you, friends, it's exciting. It's time, almost time to close shop. It's almost time to draw the curtain on the activities of the Church of Jesus Christ in our world. Our Lord is soon coming. And that's why if you're here tonight, that's the reason why we're burdened for your soul and for your heart. We want you to be ready. We want you to understand that that cross there in the central part of our chart is God's theme for the ages. It's through that cross work of Christ whereby you can have your deliverance. That was no accident, I repeat. Christ was not a martyr in the sense as we know martyrdom. He gave his life for a ransom for many. He gave his all, my friend. It was designated, planned by God the Father and by the Son. For in the volume of the book it is written of me, saith the Lord, I have come to do thy will, O God. And the Lord Jesus was the only one to fulfill the demands of a holy God, a righteous God. You see, God is holy. No sinner can go into heaven. Sin can go into heaven. And so his holiness demanded a payment, judgment. God is not just the God of judgment, but he's the God of holiness. And the Lord Jesus came, and he died on that cross. And so as a result of his death, man has a great deal of liberty and levity to a point. Leverage, I should say. But a man is not in hell tonight because he's a drunkard. He's not in hell tonight because he's a dope addict or because he has a broken home. My friend, a man is lost, has died and gone out of this world. He's lost. He died without Christ. If he lands in hell, it is because he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize that. Because he rejected God's way of salvation. I want to be very clear. And so God in his mercy and in his kindness is revealing his will. It's letting us have a glimpse into the book. Why were but Miss is it Dixon? The prophetess? Why worry about her predictions? Out of every four, she may get a half right. A real prophet, a true prophet, will predict, and every prediction is accurate. That's the test of a true prophet. And so the word of God is accurate. 29 predictions of the death of Jesus, perfectly fulfilled. 380 of them alone in the New Testament regarding the coming of Christ, already fulfilled, practically all of them. 380. You can trust this book. I don't care what the liberals, I don't care what the agnostic, the evolutionist, the atheist, no matter who he is, I don't care what he says, he cannot come up with a book as accurate as this. It's God's word for you. Someone asked recently, why did God raise up a people called the Jews or the Israelites? He said, because I've loved them and so on. Is your God a partial God to do that? No, my friend. God in his wisdom preserved one nation, a little nation. You know why? That through that nation, it might be the preservation of other nations. That's the reason why God called out a people, because the laws that was given to Israel had been the standard laws of other nations down through the centuries. And all nations that have rejected the laws of Israel, they've gone into oblivion. 21 civilizations have gone out and ceased to function, ceased to even exist. Then Israel brought us the Bible. And through Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And so that's the reason in God's prophetic program, God has taken patience, the utmost patience, to preserve the Scriptures for us and for our learning. And so then, she makes an attack on Israel. And it's there that Russia will receive her defeat. One of the prophets say that her back will be to the hinder part, or to the former sea rather, and her face will be to another sea, which perhaps is the Baltic, because of her defeat. And will only leave one-sixth of her army. Just think of that. What a slaughter that will be. And of course, there is another invasion of the final battle of Armageddon that we refer to. Remember this, Russia's battle with Israel is not the Armageddon. It's just the beginning. The battle of Armageddon is in stages, and Russia's invasion is just the beginning. It's part of it. Russia's defeated. And then China comes in, which is the culmination of that battle. That's when it's completed. And that's when the Lord Jesus comes in. That's when he comes. And he stands upon the Mount of Olives. And by the coming of his appearance, he comes to the land now. He comes to earth. And my friend, the scripture says that they that suffer with him will reign with him. And it also says that we will come with him. Who will come with him? His bride. I tell you, I'm a little homesick for heaven, and I'm a little tired. The bride has been away from her bridegroom for a long time, 2,000 years absent. And my friend Jesus longs to have his bride with him. If you don't believe in the rapture, it's all right. I love you just the same. If you believe you're going to go through the tribulation, I still love you. And I don't feel I'm going through that tribulation, because the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, as we often preach about. But there are a lot of people who believe that do not believe in the rapture. They believe that they're going to go through the tribulation. And I don't think we should fight them people who feel that way. Personally, I feel sorry for them. I love them. I feel sorry for them. I really do. Now, if you believe that here tonight, we're not going to fight and fuss, and we're not even going to be enemies over that. But when it happens, when Christ comes for his church, like Paul says, when he will come and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall be caught up. And the word caught up, kapazo, which means snatched away. 5 times in the New Testament we have that expression, snatched away, caught up. But when Jesus comes with his church, there won't be no catching away. He'll be right on that mountain by the brightness of his appearance. In shining glory and splendor, Mount Olivet will split right down the middle, and the Mediterranean Sea will pour down through that mountain and fill the Galilee, and will also fill the Dead Sea, which we now know as the Dead Sea. And Ezekiel said, men shall stand on the shores of the Dead Sea and fish. The atheist said, you know, that's a lie. No fish live in the Dead Sea. But the shores of En-Gedi, the day is coming that men are going to stand on the Dead Sea, because when he stands on the mountain, it's going to split in two. It's going to be an earthquake. And the salt water from the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, will gush down into the Dead Sea. And there is where you're going to get your fish. All right? You fellas that like fishing, you're going to be there that time. I don't know if you'll make it, mind you. I hope so. But there's going to be great fishing grounds. I don't want to get carried away here, but what I want to say is this. If he didn't come then, there won't be anything to come for. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Unless those days should be shortened. What days? Cataclysmic, catastrophe such as never been known, earthquakes, hailstones, fire from heaven, and maybe a nuclear explosion, war. You name it, it'll be there. Disease, pestilence, starvation. Oh, my friend, listen, the water will be poisonous. The drinking water, whatever you touch, will be deadly, 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 deadly. And that's why it says, unless those days shall be shortened, nobody will be alive. That's why Jesus comes back. He puts it as an appearance, he says, all right, and that's the last and final battle. That's the last war. And isn't it amazing, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 19 and 18, maybe the last of 18 or 19, I have to just double-check that. I should have read it today. But it's the favorite two verses of the church. Two verses only. Two verses that deals with the final war. And it just says a little bit. It says, and he will take Lucifer, the devil, the beast, the false prophet, and will cast them into the bottomless pit. End of the final war. The last war. Is that something? Oh, no fuss, no muss. The Lord Jesus, in just a moment, my friend, with such majestic power and glory, will bring into subjection the devil and all of his cohorts. In a moment. In a moment. Where does that leave us? Let's hurry through these, as I promised. I sincerely trust you'll be patient with us just for a moment, please. I'll try to. This is part of the chart. I hope you'll be able to see it. Remember, as we described, the next event is the rapture. This period here has been 2,000 years of God's grace, God inviting men and women to come, sinners to come, of all walks of life. You're here tonight. You're in this area here, the last part of the 2,000 years, and he's still calling you to come. It isn't too late for you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know the joy of sins forgiven and be saved. But then soon he will come for his church, meet her in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then will usher 7 years, a 7-year period that we refer to as a tribulation period, an awful period, where even the last 3.5 years we'll discover that will be that battle that we were talking about a little while ago. And then the Lord Jesus comes. And then when he conquers his enemies, captivates or puts the Satan and his cohorts into the bottomless pit, then 1,000 years on the earth of peaceful reign. They'll turn their swords into plowshares. That's right. The fertility of the land, the growth, the productivity will be such, never been known in human history. It'll be tremendous. As paradise was lost in Eden with Adam, it will be regained. Our Lord Jesus Christ will establish that. Why is Russia and China interested in Israel? Well, simply because that lately, in the last 20 years, Israel discovered value in the Dead Sea, and to make a long story short, the value of the potash, bromide, and other chemicals and minerals in the Dead Sea are estimated to be $1,270,000,000,000 worth of minerals there in the Middle East. Now, you wonder why Russia got her eye on the Middle East? Not only does she hate the Jews, but she knows that there are valuable minerals here. See this here? I put that 200 there, 200 there to remind me of something. They also have enough fertilizer in the Dead Sea to last every nation in the world for 200 years. My friend, you can't drink oil. You better not try to cook with it either. But you need fertilizer. You need fertilizer, natural fertilizer, to support and strengthen your soil to produce your crops. That's why Russia's got her eyes on that part of the world. And then I said, war, 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 everywhere you turn. Here's little Israel. This little piece of land here, only 350 square miles. Here are the guns and tanks aimed at her from Oman, Jordan, Saudi Arabia. Here we have Iraq already, and Lebanon to the north, Egypt to the south. Wherever you turn, she's just surrounded. What did Jesus say? When ye shall see Egypt, or Israel rather, surrounded by armies, then know the end is near. And by the way, that's taken from a magazine of today, but that is also taken from the Word of God. I'm only trying to emphasize a point. When I saw this, I'm a great subscriber to the Time magazine, because here again, they support the Word of God. Confirmed, that's all, the Word of God. You see that creature up there? Guess what kind of creature that is. If you can see it, it's a bear, right? A bear. She was ugly, great, massive, claws or paws stretched way down to Afghanistan, Pakistan, right down into the peninsula to the Indian Ocean, and here's the other one down over Europe and down over Israel here. And so that's supposed to be Russia. I don't know whether the man's a Christian or not, but when I looked at the cover, I just said, hallelujah. I said, he doesn't know. My friend, who is the bear? You remember the four creatures of Daniel's prophecy? Remember that? The first one was the lion. Persia, Iran was the bear. And here we've got the bear, the symbol of Russia now, but it's all the same, one and the same. The goat was Greece. And the indescribable beast was that of the Roman Empire. But here's the bear. I don't know if that fella knows his Bible or what, but I tell you, he's pretty close. He's doing a great job, whoever he is. And so, then war. That's the subject. War, war, war. In this century alone, 18, North and South America, 33 in Africa. That's, by the way, this is outdated already. Just add 10 more years onto that of wars and give you some idea. 15 in Europe, 22 in the Middle East, and 40 over in Asia. War, wherever you turn. War, war, war. It's really frightening, right up to 1965, and I don't have any additional notes on it, but there's been so many. It's just sickening, right to the Vietnam, the Congo rebellion, the Dominican Civil War, and world wars, of course, as we have on our right section. War, my friend. Look at the loss of life. Everywhere you turn, war. I want to hurry. It's just so you get an idea. The first war, the second one, the third one I referred to. The first war, Russia and her allies versus Israel, as well as the Arab nations, Iran and East Germany. Okay, during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, that's when that occurred, Russia desires Israel's vast mineral wealth. And keep in mind, the first war again, here's just added onto that so you get the sequence. And here's the outcome. God will intervene, and through an earthquake in Israel, plus rain and hail, the Russian army will be wiped out. It will take the Israelites 7 years to collect the debris. It will also take them 7 months to bury the dead. That's the first war, Ezekiel 38, all right? Just so that you remember, the second war, the real battle of Armageddon, the final stage of the Armageddon, all participants are nations versus God at Jerusalem, the end of the 7 year tribulation period. Again, the last third war, the final rebellion, Satan versus God. I wish we could spend a little more time in that. Look at the arsenal of weapons. You wonder where your tax money is going? There it is. It's going, you say, what are these? Yes. As hard as it may seem and difficult, my friend, it's a good thing that you do have an arms build-up. It's sad, I realize that, and it's tragic. But you see, this SALT agreement that Russia's constantly won, the Strategic Arms Limitation Agreement, Russia has broken everyone in the book, and we still trust them. I hope your president now don't have sense enough to view her with great suspicion and be able to face facts. George, she's saying, Mr. Carter, we build 5, 10 war-headed missiles. You will build 10? Yes, we will build 10, says Mr. Carter. And then he's got his hand back at Mr. Carter like this to Mr. Shilingi. Mr. Shilingi, double that. You see? I'm being realistic. Because that's exactly what the communists have done. And by the way, when I say Russia, remember there are millions of Russians who are not communists. And there are a lot of them who love the Lord, who are Christians, born-again believers. We're talking about a communistic philosophy and an ideology that is anti-God, anti-Christian, and anti-Western Hemisphere, anti-American. That's what we're talking about. That's why your ERA movement here frightens me, because it's nothing but a foundation for humanism. And it's rotten to the core. As we said the very first night when we talked about humanism, remember? That is the infiltration of the communistic ideology to destroy your country without firing a shot. But God is watching the whole affair too. And He's on our side. He's on your side. So the build-up may be a sad thing, but what can we do? And now we've got the Iraq nuclear... They say that Iraq has a nuclear center for the bomb. Listen, the center that was bombed, they say there's a vast hell. That's what it looked like. I didn't say it. What do you think it's going to be like in the future? They're just details of who's ahead of who in the arms build-up. But we've got other wars. The war on dope. I was so glad the other night when the U.S. undercover with the FBI uncovered perhaps the largest haul that's ever been known. He said, we'll reduce at least 40% of the inflow of drugs in your country. Our land in the Bahamas is a springboard for much of it. We had I don't know how many sacks of drugs found just in the door of our chapel. Just before coming up, we've gone to a prayer meeting. Can you imagine? The preacher was there, and he was aroused 4 o'clock in the morning. He heard this noise. Fellows with wheelbarrows had it stacked in an old building there, right at the door, in front of the door of the chapel. No one knew. And he heard the noise, and he thought they were robbing the furniture out of the church, out of the chapel. He said, what are you guys doing? And they ran. And there was 9 sacks in the road, about weighing 60 pounds a piece of marijuana, and their little room was just filled with it, right in the mouth of the church. That's a long story. You talk about a war. I use this dear girl because she's just one of many. I have a member of my family, not my children, but at least a member of my family very close, is in a mental institution today because of drugs. I love him. I love him dearly. I see him. He's in and out. And because of his condition, the men in the street, the underworld, after him, the moment he leaves the institution, they've got him as quick as that, selling him stuff. And what he's really been doing, my heart goes out to these poor kids who get hooked on it after a while. They can't do anything about it. There was a television series on not long ago, and they were asking some of the fellows about their habit. He says, I've got a $400 a day habit. $400 a day. He says, well, where do you get the money? He says, I have to steal. I rip off anything that I can lay my hands on. And I guess if the young man was truthful, he'd tell you, perhaps he even have to kill. My friend, listen, war on drugs. It's really shocking. It's sad, and yet it's true. It's there. And oh, what are we going to do? The war on drugs. When Jesus comes to set up his kingdom, thank God he's going to put an end to all of this. The broken bodies and the broken homes. The main children that we have in our society today, our institutions are literally crammed. Only Christ is going to bring an end to this. Thank God for it. It's a very poor shot, but here's the school teachers had to flee from their work at a certain college because of war, riots, and the lives that were threatened. I just took these up out of your paper here again. Had to flee for his life through the window. At one and another college. So it's war. Wherever you turn, it's war. Brezhnev urges Iraq and Iran to negotiate an end to the war. You know why I took this one down? It's because I believe this is how Russia's going to get in with Iran. I really do. She's got to have Iran as one of her aides eventually. Here it is again. Danger of war growing in China. Fighting threatens everything in the Middle East, says Sadat. War, war, war. Here's war in the music world. Young ladies, I hope you're not brainwashed by rock music, because it is a war, a battle of your mind. It'll destroy your hearing. You'll end up a deaf, mute, if you're not careful, as well as the lyrics in it. It's only out of the philosophy to really damage your life once and for all. And here's what Mr. Lennon said, the fellow who was shot recently. What certainly was a useless or senseless killing. But it was the same young John Lennon who said on one occasion, I needn't argue about Christianity, he said, because that will go first before the Beatles. He said that. Mr. Lennon said that we're more popular than Jesus Christ. And the young man, I'm not bitter against Mr. Lennon. I feel sorry for him. And now he's gone. He's gone. Christianity still goes, my friend. There's a war on the Word of God in your colleges, in your schools already. Madam O'Hare, whatever her cohorts are, whoever they are, we're successful in getting your Bible out of your schools. And so here she is, here they are. We've even got men in the clergy. They've got a Bible out now that's nothing but a pornographic book. Lewd pictures that are in it. It's shocking and shameful. But they're just trying to reduce our Bible down to a nothing. War on the Bible. War on our society. War in the music field. War in the dope traffic. And there you have it. War with this fella. With an explosion in the palm bomb. Burned for life. Never will have any cure. War. Here's your atomic explosion in Hiroshima. Thousands and thousands that were destroyed and killed. Here is your satellite that I was telling you about, war in the fourth dimension. Satellite that was one that believed suspected to be shot down by a laser beam over the Indian Ocean. That's just picture one. And picture two is the same thing. And that's the great battle of today, laser. And that's what everybody, especially those who invent these things, are really worried about. War, some of these things can be used for good. But then I showed you this picture at the beginning of our message on Sunday, and I want to repeat it. My friend, listen. All of this tells me Jesus is coming soon. With this I close. If Jesus, our Lord, comes for his church, will you go? If you got up tomorrow morning and you read in your paper something like this, I feel sorry for you. That means you're left behind. Multitudes that are missing. Disaster strikes the earth. Police unable to control mob looting. Panic and terror worldwide. Already on television networks. Schedule programming to broadcast news of missing ones. Graves that have split open. Disaster strikes the earth. Hundreds of wrecks as drivers are missing. Hospital patients and babies suddenly disappear. Christians that have gone. The churches, my friend, most of them will be empty. We won't be meeting here the Lord's Day. You can forget it. Unless you want to use it for shelter, in which case you're welcome. But we hope that you won't be here, that you will go home with us when Jesus comes. My friend, you don't need to be left behind. God made ample provision for you. You know why? He loves you. And so do we, but we can't love you as much as God. That's why we're convening such meetings like this. We're not out soliciting membership for churches. We're not out proselytizing. What we want to see is men and women saved by the grace of God. We want to see our young people holy and truly dedicated to Christ. And here's the artist's picture in color, the very graphic one when Jesus comes for his church. Our Lord Jesus, the graves are open, and all the dead in Christ will rise first. Oh, my friend, I've got some. As I said Sunday, I've got some loved ones. My mom died at 53. My brother 2 years ago died of a heart attack, just 53. My mother-in-law and father-in-law just died within 6 months, one just after Christmas and just a little before Christmas. And my little boy that was dragged 6 feet by an automobile and killed, he was only 4 years of age. I've got some planted too in these graves, but I won't tell you. When Jesus comes, they're going up. They're going up. What about you? Let's pray. Father, truly our hearts are solemnized before you tonight. We realize that there are millions who are rejecting thee. And it is our prayer that every heart will be solemnized. We as believers will realize that the time of our departure is soon to be. Help us to be ready, even as Christians. And oh God, maybe there are believers who, because of failure, we're not even on speaking terms with some of their brethren or sisters, helping that they might be reconciled, if this be the case. And then, Father, there might be those here who are not saved. We long to see them saved. Oh, that they shall turn to the Christ of God. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I ask you to sing a verse or two about him,